Okay, March 15th, 2020. Governor Baker shut down schools, indoor dining, gatherings over 25 people. March 23rd, 2020, that gathering number went down to 10, and the governor shut down all non-essential businesses. Now, March 22nd, 2021 is when the state currently plans to move for the first time to phase 4 of its reopening, the last phase in reopening for those shutdowns. So we want to ask who's still standing and how did they and how will they survive? And we've been asking that of a number of people that we spoke with in those early days, including just before the break, Boston Public Schools Superintendent Brenda Caselius. But now we want to turn our attention to another group, Black-owned businesses, which faced difficult challenges around access to capital, for example, before the pandemic, and now have been particularly strained by lack of access to things like the Paycheck Protection Program or PPP loans, which were given by the federal government for small business relief. Joining us again to check in on Black businesses is Shigun Idowu, Executive Director for the Black Economic Council of Massachusetts. Shigun, it's good to talk to you again.
Thanks for having me back, Tiziana.
So Shigun, it's been really interesting to ask people, and I'm interested what your answer will be. Do you remember the exact moment last year when you realized how bad things were going to get? Do you remember what really brought it home for you?
I do, and it was a little bit before the rest of the nation and state and city were taking it fully seriously. I was actually sitting in an office in City Hall, Boston City Hall, and right, I was having a meeting with someone, and the TV was on mute in the background, and we had just seen that one of the major folks who hold their events here in Boston had just canceled their event at the convention center. And that's when it started to dawn on those of us who were in the room that COVID-19 was not just something happening overseas, but it was going to impact us greatly here at home.
And what did you think you were going to have to do? I mean, at that point, did you think, wow, you know, we're really going to have to do X?
Well, I mean, there's a quote that's used often that when the nation catches a cold, the Black America catches the flu. And so certainly was thinking of how this was going to impact our members because, you know, again, this impacting the convention center, which brings so much business to the city of Boston, we just knew that this was going to have ramifications for our own businesses. And so that's why even in early March, we were questioning our members as to, you know, how were you being impacted and what should we be thinking of doing to protect your business? You know, even before the dates that you just mentioned at the top, before the state shut down and we moved in that direction, our folks were already being hit. So we were already busy at hand thinking of how to get capital to our folks and other ways to stabilize our businesses.
And how bad was it, Shigun? Now, looking back with a year of data, what has been the relative struggle of Black businesses?
Well, you know, it's exactly what you mentioned. I mean, we were in a precarious position before COVID-19 started. We already had a lack of access to capital. Recent reports show how either the city or the state were not doing business with us. And this is true also for the private sector. And so when we put out a survey to our members in early March, March 7th, and based on all the feedback that we got from our members at the time, the results were pretty stark. So at that time, before the state shut down, 90% of our members said they were experiencing a somewhat severe reaction to or impact from COVID-19. Almost 60% of them were experiencing supply chain disruptions. Almost 60% of them said they had cash reserves to last up to 90 days, if at all, which is important to remember because as we were talking about COVID at that time, the general thinking out there was that, oh, this is just going to last for up to 90 days and we'll, right, you know, get rid of this and we'll be back to normal. And we're certainly laughing at ourselves a year later. Almost half of our members were saying they would have to lay people off. And that's just where we were in March.
A year ago. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So what happened? Do you know what percentage of Black-owned businesses in Massachusetts went out of business, had to lay off, mm-hmm, employees, experienced extreme financial hardship? Do you have a way to quantify that for us?
Yeah, and you know the important thing to note here too is that for these surveys that all of our organizations, not just BECMA, have been doing, this is just based on people that responded. So we know that the numbers are even higher when we're talking about who's closed or who's been impacted in whatever way. So you know later on in 2020 in July, BECMA teamed up with Amplify Latinx and many other organizations and conducted a survey with Mass Inc. Polling Group to get a better understanding just of the small business ecosystem, what was happening to our businesses, no matter who owned them. And one of the data points that we got from that was that at that time in July, almost 20% of minority-owned businesses reported being closed. 11% of those were Black-owned businesses. So more than half of minority-owned businesses were Black-owned that said that they were closed. We know, because that was almost a year ago as well, we know that that number is now very, very high, because the winter months certainly were not, you know, really great to us, especially because a lot of our businesses, according to McKinsey report or McKinsey and Company, 50% of our businesses fall into five categories: retail, restaurants, hair care, personal care. And these are the businesses that have been devastated by COVID. They require in-person human contact, and the winter was not great to these businesses. They had to close down. Many of them are struggling to find the capital to reopen. So, you know, we know at least 11% of our businesses. We believe that number is now closer to 20%. And if we don't make the investments that are necessary, we're going to see that number rise even more before we fully reopen.
So let's talk about those investments. So let's start with the Paycheck Protection Program. We've heard a great deal of discussion over the months about inequity and how that money was distributed, about the historic lack of access to banking relationships for Black and Brown-owned businesses made it harder to then go through the application process. What do you know about success for businesses of color in obtaining PPP, and is that getting any better?
Well, you know, in the beginning, it was terrible, but it was also predictable. So, exactly what you just said, the fact that the program was set up in a way that you had to have existing commercial relationships with these banks certainly hurt our businesses because many of us don't have those types of relationships. We have personal relationships or none at all. And it's based on either the fact that banks don't give us business loans due to the systemic racism that guides our country, or we refused to get a loan because we remembered the predatory lending that devastated our communities a decade ago. And so that was one issue. And so the Center for Responsible Lending did a survey on the first round of PPP lending to see who got what. And they found that 95% of Black businesses across the country did not get access to PPP, 90% of minority businesses overall. And here at home, the numbers were no different. But Massachusetts is very different than other states because what happened here is that BECMA and LISC Boston, MACDC, Foundation for Business Equity, Commonwealth Kitchen, so many others were determined to ensure that these numbers were not reflected in the second and third rounds of PPP, and so came together to form what's known as the Mass Equitable PPP Access Initiative, whose whole intent was to ensure that we were not only pulling in nonprofits, but technical assistance providers and lenders that were open to new relationships to provide support to our businesses. So, because of that effort, we got about 600 or 700 minority-owned businesses and women-owned businesses access to millions of dollars worth of PPP. So we did a little better, and we have reactivated that group to help businesses in this next round of PPP.
That is good news. We talked, I think it was March 1st, with Royal Smith, who's the proprietor of District 7 Tavern in Roxbury. We talked with him and another restaurant owner that day. We heard from the other restaurant owner that he had gotten PPP. At that point, Royal hadn't. Here's what Royal told us at the time.
Unless there's a major intentional influx of resources and cash for Black-owned businesses like myself, we're not going to survive. We're not going to make it. And then we're going to go into the whole thing of starting off on an uneven playing field as we were prior to the pandemic.
So our producer, Paris Alston, checked back in with Royal today, and he told her, quote, "Fortunately, on Friday, I received the Massachusetts Growth Capital Corporation grant, I've begun to start the process of reopening, which is great news. Shows, you know, that there can be an arc here. But for business owners like Royal, what else needs to happen? And how do they now the bills come due, right? And how do they stay stable and grow? And how do we fix the structural problems that put our minority-owned businesses in this place in this pandemic in the first place?
Well, Royal is absolutely correct that one of the first things that needs to happen is this, not access to capital, but the dispersal of capital, because Black and brown folks know exactly how to access and identify where these sources of capital are. It's the fact that we're not given the capital to do what we need to do. So this is very great news to hear that Royal got that support from Mass Growth, Mass Growth Capital, and you know, they've been great partners, I will say, in ensuring that minority-owned businesses in particular have first access to this money, which is what we saw not happen on the federal level. So they've learned from the mistakes of the federal government. But beyond these, beyond the investments, which are, 60-70% of what's really needed is that infusion of capital, not only to help these businesses cover old bills, but also to help them in the future to purchase inventory, to invest in their capacity building, getting staff, to provide benefits, making investments in property that they may be renting or own. All of those things are going to be important, particularly as we're thinking about our restaurants who need even greater investment because they have to not only prepare for a future where COVID may rear its ugly head in the fall and winter months, but also preparing them for the onslaught of people who are not going to go back into their homes for the next 8 months because we've been tired of being stuck inside the whole time. And so how to even prepare for that. But other ways that we can support our businesses is one of the things that BECMA has been championing for years now, which is a supplier development and contracting, procurement in the public and private sector. You know, loans and lines of credit, grants are all really important to help our businesses survive and become stable. But it is these contracts that help our businesses to scale. And given the fact that so many people are unemployed and the fact that we know that it's Black and brown businesses who hire the majority of Black and brown people, we need to not only be focused on helping our businesses get to a place of getting a little bit beyond survival, but we need to be doing everything we can to invest in our businesses at a point where they can scale up, hire more people, provide better wages with benefits, all those things. And one of the ways we do that is through providing these contracts. And, you know, we've seen that it's at paltry levels across the state, across our cities and towns, even in the private sector, but we need to remove the existing barriers in order to make sure that our folks are getting business. All that we invest in the city, state, or private businesses needs to be reinvested back into us.
So you've grown quite a bit, BECMA has. You successfully, during this pandemic, raised $1.5 million. In just a couple of sentences, what's your big agenda through the rest of 2021?
It is exactly that. It is helping our businesses get beyond survival to thriving. That's the important part. I mean, at the end of the day, we know that the development of some communities cannot coexist with the underdevelopment of others. And so our entire focus is, now that we have made it through this first round of COVID, is helping our businesses get to a place where they can scale and have an even greater impact on the communities that they serve.
Well, Shagun, I sure appreciate you joining us. That's Shagun Itawu, Executive Director for the Black Economic Council of Massachusetts. Thanks very much.
Thank you.